Well, good morning. It is definitely good to be standing in the pulpit this morning. It is definitely different. There is no one out here. I heard Pastor Randy speak last week and heard him talk about how it does feel weird, and it definitely does feel weird looking out and seeing no one here. We definitely miss each one of you and the opportunity to see you face to face. But I'm thankful for technology. I'm thankful for the different things we can use to be able to communicate. And this morning, we're going to be looking at the topic. The sermon is When Everything Changes. And as I've been preparing this past week for this time, really been asking the Lord what he would have me to speak on. And I just kept kind of coming back to this one passage in Proverbs chapter 13. So Proverbs 13 and verse 12. I remember hearing a sermon on this verse back in my sophomore year of college. And it was one of the most transformational sermons in my life. And I'm very thankful for the speaker that talked about it. And I wanted to share that passage. And then we're going to look at a bunch of different truths all throughout God's Word this morning. But Proverbs 13, verse 12 states this in the first part. It says, "Hope deferred maketh the heart sick." If we were to put that into our own terms, it is essentially stating that whenever there are expectations that are not met, whenever we lose control of our circumstances, or really when anything is not normal, you know, when hope deferred, when we are looking forward to something, when we have these great expectations, when we're really excited for something coming up in the future, you know, we think maybe what would normally come to mind is that you're looking forward to a time with family. Maybe you have an event coming up, you're going on a vacation, and something comes along that just ruins that. I was sharing with some friends the other day that there was a tradition that our family always had whenever we would go down to see my dad's family in Texas. So from Illinois to Texas, it was about an 18-hour drive, quite a trip. And we always look forward to it, though, because we did it every other year in the summer. And so when we got to that year, it was the highlight of our year to be able to go and see family that we didn't get to see that often. But we did some things on that trip that we wouldn't do otherwise. We would stay in a hotel on the way down and on the way back. We would stop at different restaurants. It was a lot of fun. But the one restaurant that we would always stop at was Cracker Barrel. That was our family favorite. We didn't go there a lot. There wasn't any at that time close to us. And so we would go there usually on the way down and then also on the way back. And it was always something we greatly look forward to. But I remember it was probably when I was 13 or 14. We're headed down to Texas and we would leave early in the morning. We'd drive all day and we try to knock out the most of it on the first day. And as we get closer and closer to where we're going to be at the restaurant we're going to spend that evening, I started feeling sick. And I remember thinking that this is not good. I remember those feelings when you start to get sick and you know it's not just a slight upset stomach or a little bit of car sickness. I knew this was the real deal. Well, we had about a few hours to go, and I remember trying to hold it in as best as I could because I did not want to ruin going to Cracker Barrel. And as we get closer, the anticipation is building. Everyone's excited. We're on the first leg of our journey, and it's just getting worse and worse for me. And I'm not talking, which should have been a clue for the rest of the family that something was wrong. And I remember we pulled into the Cracker Barrel parking lot. It's been a few hours of agony for me. And as soon as we get there and we open the door, I lost every meal that I had had for the last couple days, right out on the parking lot. And I remember my whole family, I'm sure they felt bad for me, but the overall overwhelming feeling was, oh no, now we can't go to Cracker Barrel. The hope there that was looking forward to that was deferred. It was put off because one of our family members was sick. I ended up being sick for the majority of that trip, and it was not enjoyable, but they still remind me regularly that I ruined their opportunity to go to Cracker Barrel at that time. See, because they were looking forward to that. We were all looking forward to that, but then that was put aside. And we have a lot of times in our life where we are looking forward to something and it is put off. Maybe it's canceled. Maybe it's postponed. Right now, we're in the midst of something that is really uncharted territory for not only us here in America, but around the world. There is a worldwide pandemic that is taking place, this COVID-19 virus, that is affecting drastically people's lives. We are currently now under, in our state and many states around the nation, under a lockdown, a stay-at-home order. And this has greatly changed how we go about our day-to-day life. And the difference about this hope being deferred is that there were things that we just took for granted to do that now we can no longer do. We now have to be very purposeful about going out. We cannot meet up with friends. We cannot come to church. But folks, as we're considering this hope that is being deferred, as we're thinking about losing control of our circumstances, how should we react different than the unsaved world does? Everything is changing for us just as it is for the unsaved world, for everyone. But folks, as Christians, there are some things that we can hold on to that never change. We're going to look at three main things this morning that never change for us as Christians that we can hold on to during this time. The first thing that we need to realize that does not change is God. God never changes. Folks, the world at large, as they're unsaved, as they are scrambling to figure out what is taking place, if you look around at the panic that is taking place in the world and even just in our community, people are looking for something to control, something that they can hold on to that in this time of lack of control that they can have their hands on. But folks, as Christians, though we should take proper precautions, what should we be holding on to that never changes? The first and foremost things, the priority in our life as Christians should be to hang on to God and realize that He never changes. That God in His essence, who He is, never changes. Malachi 3 verse 6 says, "For I am the Lord, I change not." God's promise there is something that never stops being true. This was not just for a short time period. He is stating here that He, as God, He never changes. Hebrews 13, 8 echoes the same sentiment about Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God, who is fully God. That verse says, "Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever." Folks, understand that God, that Jesus, the one and the same, the Trinity, the ones that we worship, that we should be following after as Christians, they never change. The world may change, our circumstances may change, we may change, but God never changes. James 1:17 states, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights," notice this, "with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." The idea being there that there is nothing about God that wavers. There's nothing that we see about God today that is going to be different tomorrow. There's nothing that we see in God's Word that is true of God, that is a fact of God, that is different in our time today. Psalm 90 verse 2 states, "Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God." This verse referring to the eternality of God, that He has always been God and He always will be God. Folks, we need to understand that though things may take place in our life, both individually and right now as we're seeing globally, that are going to change us, that are going to change our circumstances, we have to, as Christians, hold on to the fact that God never changes. When you go and you talk to an unsaved person right now, I've had several opportunities to do this, and you see them trying to hold on to something. Some of them have a fear that is greater than others. Some are hiding it well. Some are trying to just cope with different things around them. But the thing that we need to understand is that they're really holding on to nothing, that they have nothing to grasp onto that goes beyond this life. Everything they are doing is living for this life, and when this life is chaos, their life is chaos. But folks, as we're thinking about God who never changes, realize that who He is never changes and His characteristics never change. We can look at many, many different passages about God's characteristics, but consider Psalm 86:15. It says, "But Thou, O God, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth." When we're questioning what is taking place right now, when we're not understanding the purposes for it, and folks, we may not understand this until we get to heaven. We may not be able to gain that understanding to know why this is taking place right now. But what we do know is that because God never changes, because his characteristics remain the same, we should have our faith and our trust in our God. Romans 8, 35 through 39, Pastor Randy mentioned last week, one that we can all go to right now, talking about the love of God, the love of Christ, acknowledge that we need to hold on to God is love. That nothing can separate us from the love of God through Christ. That no trial, no tribulation, no difficulty that we're ever going to face is going to place that separation between us and God. And that is because he never changes, because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Folks, secondly, not only does God never change, but realize that his word never changes. Realize God's word never fails. Matthew 24, 35 states, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." Even if everything were to disappear right now that we know, we're seeing a little taste of that. But even if this earth, if heaven and earth, everything in this universe would pass away, would disappear, God's words will not fail, will not pass away. When we're scrambling for answers, when we're having a lack of understanding, when people are trying to gain control and do different things to cope with what is taking place, the number one place we should go as believers is to God's word. But why can we do that? Because, folks, when food becomes scarce, certain food items become scarce, when certain products that we're used to begin to disappear off the shelves, folks, we are going to always have God's word, and we have to realize that it is sufficient for everything that we need. Matthew 4:4 states, "But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Have we become too dependent on the things of this world, the things that we feel are needed, the things that are maybe, yes, needed to sustain life? But if we put anything above our relationship with God, folks, we need to rely on, as it says in Matthew 4, every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And we have that in his holy word. And realize the sufficiency of Scripture we've looked at many times in 2 Timothy 3 is talking about how all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. Why? So that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Folks, if we're thinking about where to go for answers right now, where to go to be comforted, we need to look no further than to going to God's word. To going to the place that has scenario after scenario seen and picture of people that were in trying times and how God sustained them. How God may have been trying them to bring them closer to him. How God may have allowed circumstances in their life so that they would see him better. Whatever the scenario, realize that God was still the same in his word, and he is still the same today, and his word is still the same right now. Folks, we have to rely, we have to trust on God and realize he never changes. We have to rely on his word and realize it never changes. And folks, these are comforting things. These are things that we have to hold on to in this time. But realize that as God wrote his word contains commands for us that also never change. And in a time of turmoil, a time of just wondering what is taking place, we have to hold on to these commands. And folks, there are obviously many, many commands throughout Scripture, but I want to look at a few here that we need to be considering today. First of all, we need to trust and not fear. Proverbs 3:5. A great reminder for us, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. Our understanding is clouded right now. Our understanding is very confused. We don't know why this is taking place. But folks, this is a great opportunity to trust in the Lord. Why should there be a different response by us as Christians than the world at large right now? Because we're not placing our trust in our own understanding of the circumstances. We should be placing our trust in God. Psalm 56:3 states, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." Folks, is it wrong to feel emotion? Is it wrong to have that sense of fear when things take place in our life? Maybe initially it is not, but if we continue to allow fear to control us, if we allow it to define our lives right now, We are then stating that we're not trusting in God. Folks, we have to, as Christians, place our trust in the God that we say we believe in. Folks, if God is strong enough, if God is able to save you from your sins, He is going to be able to sustain you through any circumstance that life throws at us. First command, we need to trust and not fear. Second, during this time, we need to praise the Lord. Psalm 150, verse 1, praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Very simply stating, if you look all throughout the Psalms, you're going to see a very common theme of praising God. And consider that how the Psalms are written. Most of them were written in very difficult times. Most of David's Psalms were when someone is either trying to kill him or he is mourning the loss of someone close to him. He is going through a great deep sorrow. Even as we looked at a couple weeks ago, the psalm that he wrote where he is living through a pandemic that really was brought on by his own choices and how he is still crying out and praising God. Ephesians 5, 19 through 20 explains to us that we are to be speaking to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, individually, as families, take some time, because you have a lot of it right now, take some time to praise the Lord. Take some time to sing praises to Him, to sing psalms and spiritual songs, to read through the psalms and read them back to the Lord, to sing them back to the Lord. Take the time to praise Him for the blessings that He has brought on your life. It is easy in these difficult times to focus on the bad. But folks, what do we have to be thankful for? You know, some of you may not be thinking that it is a good thing to be locked in your home for 2 or 3 weeks with your family members. But have you taken an opportunity to thank God that you have family to be with? Folks, maybe you are alone right now. Maybe you do not have a lot of people around you at this time. What can you be thankful for? Well, we can all individually, regardless of our circumstances, have that relationship with God. We can praise Him. We can show thankfulness to Him always in all circumstances. Folks, not only do we need to trust in God, do we need to praise Him, but let me challenge you that even during this time when everything is crazy and different and it can be easy to get relaxed, we need to reject the temptation to sin. Now realize that sinning is going to look a lot different now than it may have during normal life. Some temptations that we would normally have are not going to be present now. They're not going to be an issue because we're locked in our homes. But there are going to be new temptations. There's going to be new habits. There's going to be new things that develop that maybe we are going to now need to deal with. What attitude do we need to have as we consider our reaction to sin in our life? Well, that reaction should be the same regardless of our circumstances. It should be to forsake that sin, to reject the temptation that is coming at us. James 4, 6 through 10 gives us that idea of what we should be doing. We are to submit ourselves to God. Verse 7 says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. How do we submit ourselves to God? First thing, resist the devil. If we resist him, he's going to flee from us. Folks, if we resist the temptation, if we resist the sin that is coming at us in this time, we are obeying one of the core commands that God has given us as believers. Romans, and Paul talks all about how when we are now saved, when Jesus Christ saves us, we then should act different. We should live different because we are no longer under the control of sin. Folks, do not allow the circumstances of this life to define and to allow you to become relaxed in your battle with sin. Realize that those temptations are going to continue. They may take a different form, but folks, we need to resist the devil and he will flee from you. And then we draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. And humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he shall lift you up. Folks, consider how can you reject that temptation to sin in your life right now. Don't become lazy. Don't become complacent in what you are doing and excuse away the difficulties of life in giving you that permission to give in to sin. Resist temptation continually, regardless of your circumstances. But then, folks, number four, we need to pray. Take time right now with your families and individually, not only to praise the Lord, but spend time in prayer. Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And then James 5:13, a great verse for right now. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Folks, we are feeling affliction. We are feeling and seeing these difficulties that are around us in this world, that are in our own communities. We are feeling affliction. If we are overwhelmed, if we are feeling that lack of control, we need to go to God. Pray and seek the Lord. And lastly, folks, let's take time to reach out to others. Philippians chapter 2 gives us a great picture of what it looks like to have the mind of Christ. And honestly, as Christians, this should be our number one desire, to become more like Christ. And if we're going to do that, what does that look like? Once again, regardless of our circumstances, but how can we place looking like Christ in the time that we are in right now? Well, verses 1 through 10 state this. If there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Folks, the example that Christ gave to us by coming to this earth, by humbling himself as God and becoming man, he gives us a great example of the attitude we are to have daily, but also during this time. Folks, we are to, as verse 4 says, not look on our own things, but look on the things of others. And let the mind of Christ be in us. This doesn't mean that we just don't care about ourselves, that whatever happens to us is just going to happen. But folks, it means that our priorities are to take care of the ones that are around us. And why are we to do that? John 13:35, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Folks, God's command is clear that as the disciples of Christ, as the children of God, we are to show love to one another. Specifically, this is referring to other believers. That we are to have love for one another because the outside world is going to be watching us. They're going to see how we're going to respond to difficulties of life, to the circumstances that could overwhelm us, to the strife that happens in the world at large. When it happens among believers, how do we respond? John is stating that we know, Christ stating in John that we know that we are his disciples if we have love for one another. Folks, how can we show love for one another at this time? Take opportunities to reach out to other people that you know. Call family members. Call friends. Call church family. Check in on people. Even just a couple minute phone conversation, let someone else know that you care, that you love them, and that we love one another because Christ first loved us. But folks, also consider how we are to be always looking for opportunities to be a testimony to this lost and dying world. And folks, the people in this world are going to be very aware of their insufficiencies right now. If there's going to be a time in our history when they are going to acknowledge that they do not have control, when they are in need of salvation, this may be it. Reach out to that lost neighbor or friend that does not have hope during this time. Folks, if you know someone that does not have Christ, call them. Reach out to them. Just be a friend to them. And if the Lord gives you an opportunity, share with them how they can have hope during this time. Folks, we are praying for each one of you, and though we cannot see you right now, I know that the Lord wants to do a great work through this church. Because as Pastor Andy reminded us a couple weeks ago here at the meeting when we were announcing we were going to be taking a couple weeks, he reminded us that the church is not this building, that it is each and every one of us. And though we are not meeting together right now, we have an opportunity to be the church out in this community, to call people, to reach out to those around us, to be that testimony. And folks, let's be that shining light in the darkness that is very apparent right now. I want to close with this word, with this verse from the song Abide With Me. It was written by Henry Light. It is the fourth verse, and I think it's very appropriate for this time. It says, I fear no foe with thee at hand to bless. Ills have no weight and tears no bitterness. Where is death's sting? Where grave thy victory? I triumph still if thou abide with me. Folks, we need to be drawing closer to the Lord. We need to be abiding with Him. And folks, that takes work, that takes time. But honestly, that's a thing that we have a lot of right now. Are we taking opportunities to trust in the things that we know will never change? Are we abiding with the God who never changes? Are we abiding in His Word that never changes? Are we abiding in the commands that He has given us that are timeless, that continue regardless of our circumstances? Folks, we began with Proverbs 13:12, which said, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. But the second part of that verse said, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. Folks, we need to be desiring and trusting in and looking for that which does not change. Our circumstances are going to change. People are going to change, but as Christians, let's hold on to that which never changes, and it begins with our relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you that we could spend time in your word this morning. I thank you that we can hold on to things that never change. Lord, I pray for each and every individual person that is listening right now. My friends, my church family, Lord, I pray you would encourage them. This is a time that we could allow ourselves to become upset and confused and overwhelmed with fear. Lord, I pray that we would trust in you. Lord, that we would seek you every moment of our lives, that we would be able to get back into a pattern if we have left it, that pattern of seeking you continually. Lord, I pray that you would do a work in each individual person, in each family that is together right now, that when we come back together, Lord, that we wouldn't have grown apart, but that we would have grown closer to you as individuals and as families. Lord, that you would do a great work in this church in this time. Lord, give us opportunities to be a testimony to those around us, to be able to tell them of the hope that is found in Jesus in this time. Lord, help us to look to you for answers, to trust in you when we don't have understanding. Lord, I thank you for the love that you show to us daily. Lord, I pray that we would then show that love to those around us. Use us in a great way in this time. We look forward to being back together. But Lord, help us to spend that time now with you. In Jesus' name, amen.